6 months from now, you could be running a 5K, booking that dream trip, or seeing thicker, fuller hair every time you look in the mirror. Through Hers, you can get dermatologist-trusted, clinically proven prescriptions with ingredients that go beyond what over-the-counter products offer. Whether you prefer oral or topical treatments, Hers has you covered. Getting started is simple. Just fill out an intake form online, and a licensed provider will recommend a customized plan just for you. The best part? Everything is 100% online. If prescribed, your treatment ships right to your door. No pharmacy trips, no waiting rooms, and no insurance headaches. Plus, treatments start at just $35 a month. Start your initial free online visit today at forhers.com/talk. That's forhers.com/talk. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Price varies based on product and subscription plan. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information. 6 months from now, you could be running a 5K, booking that dream trip, or seeing thicker, fuller hair every time you look in the mirror. Through Hers, you can get dermatologist-trusted, clinically proven prescriptions with ingredients that go beyond what over-the-counter products offer. Whether you prefer oral or topical treatments, Hers has you covered. Getting started is simple. Just fill out an intake form online, and a licensed provider will recommend a customized plan just for you. The best part? Everything is 100% online. If prescribed, your treatment ships right to your door. No pharmacy trips, no waiting rooms, and no insurance headaches. Plus, treatments start at just $35 a month. Start your initial free online visit today at forhers.com/talk. That's forhers.com/talk. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Price varies based on product and subscription plan. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
If your job at a healthcare facility includes disinfecting against viruses, you know prevention is the best medicine. And maintaining healthy spaces starts with a healthy cleaning routine. Grainger's world-class supply chain helps ensure you have the quality products you need when you need them. From disinfectants and cleaning supplies to personal protective equipment, so you can help deliver a clean bill of health. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Darkcast Network. Welcome to the dark side of podcasting.
At 10:45 a.m. on June 13, 2001, 19-year-old Jason Jolkowski was seen outside his family's home in Omaha, Nebraska, helping his younger brother bring in the trash cans. He was scheduled to work that day at a local Fazoli's restaurant, but because his car was in the shop, Jason had arranged for a co-worker to pick him up at his old high school, just 8 blocks away. He told his family he was heading out, but he never made it to the school. He never made it to work, and he was never seen again. There were no witnesses, no security footage, no clues. Just a young man who vanished in the middle of a sunny day in a quiet residential neighborhood during a walk that should have taken 10 minutes. When a person goes missing, there's a special kind of pain in the not knowing. I want to tell you the stories of those who never came home. Today, I want to tell you the story of Jason Jolkowski. I'm Kona Gallagher.
And I'm Ethan Flick.
And this is And Then They Were Gone. Everyone.
Welcome back.
Thank you for joining us once again. I'm Kona.
And I'm Ethan.
And we're the husband and wife team behind this podcast. Each week, I tell you the story of an unsolved missing persons case. Ethan doesn't know anything about the case going into the episode, and he's here to provide his reactions and questions in real time, hopefully asking some of the same ones you have at home. This case is utterly baffling, and this episode is going to be short because, like I said in the intro, there are basically no clues.
Well, right away, I'm getting the, I'm sure we'll hear this, the vibe that he left on his own accord. He's started a new life.
Yeah, I mean, that certainly comes up, but...
It's not the prevalent theory?
No,
no. Okay, well, that's good.
Yeah. But of course it came up. I mean, how could it not, you know? But what's really interesting about this case is how... I mean, I didn't know about it, but I knew of it in a kind of roundabout way. I knew about Jason's story a little bit because of what came afterwards in terms of like advocacy and things that his parents have done. So obviously we'll get into that, but it's weird because it's kind of a famous case that nobody's heard about, if that makes sense, which I know it
doesn't. Not at all. No.
Yeah, fair. But before we dive into today's case, we'd like to thank our newest Patreon supporters, Nova S., Althea JC., and Mean Jean. Thank you so much.
Thank you all so very, very much.
Your support helps us keep the show going and helps keep these stories in the public eye. So if you would like to join them, you can head over to Patreon and join at any level, starting at just $2 a month for ad-free episodes and a free copy of the ebook that I wrote. Now, with that out of the way, let's talk about Jason Jolkowski. Jason Anthony Jolkowski was born on June 24th, 1981, in Grand Island, Nebraska, to Kelly and Jim Jolkowski. He was the oldest of two children and lived in Omaha with his parents and his younger brother, Michael. At the time of his disappearance, Jason was 19 years old and was living a fairly typical life for a recent high school graduate. He was attending Iowa Western Community College, studying radio broadcasting, which is a career that he'd shown interest in for several years by that point. So he loved sports, and his mother called him a walking sports dictionary. And his ultimate goal was to be a sportscaster. So studying, broadcasting was just a way to get there. In the meantime, Jason worked part-time at a local Fazoli's restaurant and was known for being polite, reserved, and extremely bright. Now, I do want to mention, I did read in a source that even though he was working at Fazoli's, obviously, to make money, which is why anybody works at a job, he had accepted a new job somewhere else. And I just bring that up because, you know, it just goes to show that he's making plans and things like that, right?
Yeah, avoiding the theory that he left and started a new life.
Correct. Now, Jason wasn't exactly like a big social butterfly. He was quiet. He was sometimes shy and really wasn't the type to go out partying or, you know, just randomly disappear for hours at a time. According to his parents, he wasn't the kind of teenager who acted out or broke rules. Like, he was just dependable. And, you know, he had his like small group of friends and that's who he stuck with. He also loved trivia, especially anything related to sports, which goes back to being that walking sports dictionary. And he could rattle off obscure stats and player histories, which is something his family friends found both amusing and impressive, which, yeah. I mean, I would too, but I'm sure they're like amusing in quotes a little
also
bit.
Also annoying.
Yeah. In 2001, Jason was living at his parents' home near 48th and Bedford Streets in the Benson neighborhood of Omaha. It was a quiet residential area. It was, you know, a place where kids walked to school and neighbors knew each other. Though during my research, I did find people who lived in the area in the early 2000s, and they said that while it was like, yes, typically a quiet residential area, there was certainly crime as well. So it's not, you know, like you're in the inner city or anything like that. But one Reddit user, for instance, said that they had like been jumped in that area.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, crime happens everywhere. But,
exactly.
So this neighborhood, is it, I know you said it was residential, but is there a lot of woods in the area? Is it like, you know, houses on top of houses, like your standard suburban?
Yeah, I think it's just like pretty suburban. I mean, it was in Omaha, right? So
right.
Like definitely near a city.
And flat.
Yeah, we're not talking about like Washington State or Oregon.
Yeah,
or,
exactly.
You know,
that's what I was
exactly, yeah.
At.
And again, you know, back to like the crime of it, though, Jason was 6'1" as well. Now, he was like 165 pounds. So like a tall guy.
Tall
but not,
and lanky.
Yeah, tall and lanky. So again, not like intimidating, but also not somebody you'd be like, oh, let me abduct this person off the street, you know?
Yeah. It'd be hard to force him into a car.
Exactly, right? Like you're going to fold him in half. Like, what are you going to do? Despite all of this, within a few hours, Jason went from planning a ride to work to missing without a trace. June 13th, 2001 was a typical summer day in Omaha, Nebraska. Jason was scheduled to work a shift at Fazoli's, which, as we mentioned, is a local fast casual Italian restaurant, and he'd been working there for several months. He was supposed to start at noon, but that morning, around 10:30, his manager called and asked if he could come in a little bit early to help out. Jason agreed, but there was a slight complication. His car was in the shop, and Fazoli's was about 4 miles from Jason's house. So when he was scheduled to start at noon, his plan was just to walk the 4 miles because his parents were at work. So his plan was just to walk the 4 miles, but because his boss wanted him earlier, like he couldn't really do that and get there any earlier. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And this is the part I've read kind of conflicting things. In some, it said that like he contacted a coworker and asked for a ride. I did read something else that said that like his boss kind of like talked to a coworker and coordinated a ride. But either way, a coworker was going to come pick him up. Jason, however, was garbage with directions. And so he like didn't even really want to try to like direct this person to his house.
Okay.
And again, we're talking 2001. So this is the era of like if you wanted to go someplace and get directions, you either still had a map book in your car.
Or MapQuest.
Or MapQuest, which you would then print out and bring with you.
Yeah.
Neither one is like super easy or convenient.
Yeah.
But
well, especially if it was a coworker that was like already at work.
Oh, yeah. You know, that's a good point. I don't know if that coworker was already at work or not. But yeah, you're right. Yeah, that would make it even harder. And very few cars at the time had GPSs. So anyway, what the plan ended up being was that they were going to meet at the high school. So both Jason and the coworker had gone to that high school. So they both knew where it was. And it was like 8 blocks from Jason's house. So he could easily walk there, meet up with the coworker. They go to Fazoli's. Seems like a plan.
Yeah, it makes sense.
So Benson High School is the high school that they decided to meet at. I don't know for sure if Jason walked to school like when he was a student there, but given that it was only 8 blocks away, I would imagine that he did.
Yeah.
At least up to the point that he got a driver's license.
Right.
So, you know, either way, though, like it's clearly a route he's very familiar with.
Yeah. And 8 blocks is not that far away.
No, not at all. At around 10:15 a.m., a neighbor saw Jason outside helping his younger brother bring in the garbage cans. And that was apparently a little bit before Jason got the phone call to come into work early. Now, they were supposed to meet at around 11 at the high school. So the coworker arrived at Benson High shortly after 11, but Jason wasn't there. She waited a few minutes and then just like went to Fazoli's because what else is she going to do, you know? And she didn't know Jason's address, so she couldn't go in.
She couldn't just drive to his house.
Yeah, exactly. So she's like, well, I don't know what's going on, but I'm going to go to work. So she went to work, obviously told their boss that Jason never showed. So Jason's boss is like, what? And called Jason.
Now, when you say call Jason.
Yeah. So the house phone. And it was Jason's brother, Michael, who answered because, like I said earlier, Jason's parents were at work. And Michael's like, I don't know, but Jason's not home. So I'm, you know, I guess he's on his way. Like, you know, I don't know what the little brother told him other than Jason wasn't there. In typical younger brother fashion, he didn't like call his parents at work or like tell them anything.
Do any follow up whatsoever.
No, not at all.
Yeah.
Which, again, just is so believable to me for a little brother, you know.
Also, it shows that it was just, you know, standard normal day.
Yeah. And even though and like the fact that Jason didn't show up to work, like didn't ring any alarm bells, at least in Michael's head. Unfortunately, their parents didn't find out until that evening that Jason never showed up to work and hadn't been seen since the morning. So they find out when they get home. So they're like, okay, well, that's really weird because, like I said, he's dependable, you know? And so they ended up calling all of Jason's friends, but nobody had heard from him that day.
So you said this is after work. So we're talking 5:30, 6
o'clock,
somewhere
like right
around there.
Yeah, right around there. So his parents are just confused because this is so out of character for him. He's not impulsive. He's not reckless. He wouldn't just like blow work off and go somewhere without telling anybody. That just is not the type of guy he was. And anything happening on the walk didn't make sense either because it was a short walk. And, you know, maybe he wasn't great with directions, but like he knew where the high school was,
you know? Exactly. It's a local landmark, a place that he's familiar with.
That he went to school for 4 years, you know? And it was broad daylight, like it wasn't bad weather, you know, anything that you could think of, nothing seemed to make sense. So he should have arrived at the school within minutes of leaving his house, but he never did.
the little brothers give kind of a roundabout time of when that was? I mean, I know he was seen at 10:15.
Yeah, and I think his brother said he left at like 10:45.
Okay.
You know, give or take. I'm sure he wasn't paying close attention.
Between 10:30 and 10:45.
Yeah, somewhere right around there. Just at the time you would expect him to leave to get to the high school by 11 o'clock. Unfortunately, Jason's parents were under the mistaken assumption that they needed to wait 24 hours before reporting their son missing.
Oh, that's interesting.
Are you ready to lose weight? With Effecty, getting access to powerful GLP-1 weight loss medications has never been easier or more affordable. Effecty offers compounded semaglutide, the same active ingredients as the popular name brands, but for up to 80% less. These medications work by regulating appetite and blood sugar, helping you lose weight in a sustainable, science-backed way. Getting started is so simple. Just fill out a short medical questionnaire, then connect with a licensed provider through a quick chat-based telehealth consultation. If you're eligible, your prescription gets shipped straight to your door. No hassle, no waiting rooms. With transparent pricing, no hidden fees, and no membership required, Effecty is committed to making proven weight loss treatments accessible to everyone. Effecty gave me the opportunity to try their service out, and I have to say, it is just as easy as they say it is. I filled out the questionnaire, and within days, a package arrived at my door filled with everything I needed and detailed instructions. Their website also tells you everything you need to know, and you can always chat with your healthcare provider. It really is that simple and convenient. So if you're ready to level up your weight loss game, my listeners can now get $50 off of GLP-1 weight loss treatments at Effecty.com with code ATTWG at checkout. That's Effecty.com, EFFECTY.com, and use the code ATTWG to get $50 off your first month of GLP-1 weight loss treatment. No hassles, no memberships, and no hidden fees. So get started today. Has it ever felt like you're doing everything right? You're eating healthy, you're working out, and yet your energy still crashes, or your mood swings hit out of nowhere, like a twist in a crime story that you didn't see coming. Listen, I've been there too. And what I've discovered is that many of these issues could be tied to hormonal imbalances, like a hidden criminal lurking in the background, throwing everything off track. But here's the good news. This is one mystery that you can solve with Happy Mammoth. There's no need for a long investigation. Just take the free 2-minute quiz from Happy Mammoth. You answer a few questions about what you're experiencing and where you're at in life, and you'll uncover the real culprit behind your hormonal symptoms. And the best part? After taking the quiz, you'll get a personalized recommendation to help you balance your hormones so you can finally feel like yourself again. According to a survey, after taking Hormone Harmony, 86% of women started to lose weight. 77% said that it improved their mood. And the biggest benefit? 100% of women surveyed said they're feeling like themselves again. For a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code ATTWG at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use the code ATTWG for 15% off today. With Mother's Day around the corner, are you thinking about a truly special gift for your mom? Let me tell you about mylifeinabook.com. It's a unique service that turns your mom's life stories into a beautiful book. Here's how it works. Every week, mylifeinabook.com will send her a question via email. These can be pre-written questions about her life or any custom questions that you wish to ask. And then she can either type a response or use their voice to text feature, and mylifeinabook.com compiles all of her responses into a beautiful keepsake book. And guess what? They can even create an audiobook using her voice recordings. It's like preserving her voice and stories for eternity. Imagine discovering stories about her youth, adventures, and the challenges she overcame. This book becomes a legacy. It's something that you and future generations can treasure forever. Your mom's given you a lifetime of stories. This is your chance to give her a way to share them. And this is something that Ethan and I had been thinking about doing with our parents. We have this podcasting equipment, so we wanted to find a way for them to tell their story. But I love this because it's so regimented. They send them a question every week, and it just makes it really easy and turnkey. And it just seems like a great way for us to get our parents' stories down so that our children and our children's children can have them. So if you're interested, check out mylifeinabook.com and use code ATTWG at checkout for 15% off. Create an unforgettable gift for your mom this Mother's Day. That's mylifeinabook.com and use code ATTWG for 15% off today. Armoire makes getting dressed easy. With a clothing rental membership from Armoire, you can build the perfect wardrobe with brands that are high quality, unique, and recommended just for you. All you have to do is take a 5-minute style quiz and select items from your dynamic, personalized closet. And the styles show up at your door in as little as 2 days. Then when you're ready for new clothes, just swap them out for more new-to-you styles. So I've been using Armoire, and I'm actually wearing one of their shirts right now as I'm recording this, and it's a great idea. You don't have to commit to buying the clothes, but you can really start to explore your own personal style. Like if there's a trend or something that you've been wanting to maybe try but not commit to, this is absolutely perfect. Because if you don't like it, you just put it back in the bag and get something else. Because we've all been there. You open your closet, and even though it's packed, you feel like you have nothing to wear. And with Armoire, that's a thing of the past. They make it effortless for all women to turn heads with stylish everyday looks. You can rent high-quality designer clothing for any occasion, and it's all tailored to your personal style. Plus, you don't have to do laundry, and you don't have to go shopping. It truly could not be any easier. And right now, my listeners can give Armoire a try and get up to 50% off their first month, which is up to $125 off. Just visit armoire.style/ATTWG. That's armoire.style, armoire.style/ATTWG to get up to 50% off your first month and never worry about what to wear again. Try Armoire today.
Interesting. Well, I wonder where they would have thought that, or like
TV,
where they got that.
Movies. I mean, that's like on every cop show ever.
Oh, I always thought it was 48 hours. They say that.
Oh, yeah. Well, either way, but like, so they didn't even call it in that first night. And honestly, maybe they didn't think that he was officially a missing person that first night. I don't know.
Yeah.
So it wasn't until the next morning, June 14th, that they called the Omaha Police Department to report him missing. However, while that first 24 hours would have been a crucial investigative window, it doesn't really seem to have mattered in the end, because even a day later, police weren't too concerned about what happened to Jason. Because Jason was legally an adult and because there was no evidence of foul play or a specific threat, police initially treated his disappearance as that of a voluntary missing adult.
There we go.
Essentially, they suggested that he just chose to leave. But his family pushed back because Jason had no history of running away. He hadn't taken any belongings. He had maybe $60 in cash on him, but he hadn't touched his bank account. Oh, and so back to the phone issue, though. Remember, 2001, some people had cell phones. Some people did not have cell phones. Right. I had a cell phone. You did not.
I did not.
Right. And we've talked about this in other episodes. I have read reports where Jason did have a cell phone, but I'm not 100% clear on if he had it with him when he left the house. Because that's the other thing. In the early days of cell phones, we didn't necessarily always have it with us.
Yeah, because it's around that time. I mean, it was still pretty novel and the only thing you could really do was
and
call.
Expensive.
Yeah.
Yeah. So by 2001, I think we did have the ability to text, but we weren't doing it very much.
Right.
It was usually just phone calls and they were still expensive. Like a lot of plans back then, you had to pay for phone calls up until either 7 or 9 p.m.
And
depending.
Text.
And text. Yeah. Right. Each text was like 25 cents or something, I feel
right.
like.
Yeah.
So a lot of people didn't carry it with them all the time, especially during the day when the rates were high. Like a lot of times you just leave it at home and then use it at night. Like,
right.
once it was free. And if anybody needed to get a hold of him, they would just call the restaurant and ask for him. You know, like that's what you did. Like if when you are at work and people need to get a hold of you, they would just call your work directly instead of like your cell phone.
Yeah. And there might have also, I don't know, but there might have also been a rule at work where he wasn't allowed to have his cell phone on him.
Yeah. I mean, I have no idea. So regardless, even if he had a cell phone, there's a very good chance that he didn't take it with him. Either way, it didn't provide any evidence of anything. The other thing is that, you know, nothing had seemed unusual or anything with Jason in his behavior, his attitude in the days leading up. Like he hadn't been withdrawn. He didn't seem depressed. He didn't seem nervous. So, you know, nothing out of the ordinary whatsoever. Still, the case didn't get much attention right away. It would be 9 days before a formal investigation began.
Whoa.
Yeah. And that's why I said, like, ultimately, it didn't really matter that they waited 24 hours because
they ended up waiting 9 days.
Yeah. Because the police waited 9 more days. So
why? Like, what
because
was
the they
thought?
Thought he was voluntarily missing. They didn't think that there was anything to investigate. Once they got started, the police, 10 days after he was last seen, police interviewed Jason's family, his coworkers, and his friends, like you would expect them to do. They searched wooded areas and parks, checked in with hospitals and shelters, and followed up on tips from people who thought they might have seen somebody matching his description. But there were no real leads and no real sightings after that one at 10:15 a.m., which was the neighbor. So, like, that's an easily confirmable sighting, you know?
Right.
It's somebody who knew him.
Right.
There was also no evidence of an abduction, though, either. There was no indication of a struggle. Granted, it was 10 days later, so a lot of physical evidence, you know, would potentially be gone. But you have to remember, too, that he disappeared from a neighborhood where people were home. Yards were getting mowed, like trash was getting taken out, you know, kids were playing outside, like whatever it was.
Yeah.
Because this was summertime, too, so kids were out of school.
Kids were home, yeah.
Yeah. So even though it was during the week, like kids were home. Now, police were able to obtain security camera footage from the high school.
Okay.
But the footage showed that Jason never arrived.
Hmm. So they could probably see the coworker's car pull in?
Yeah, I think so.
There?
Yeah, yeah. But they never saw any indication that Jason was ever there.
So we have.
And this coworker has never been named. And I think it's just because, like, the coworker had
nothing
to
do
with anything,
yeah.
So they wanted to, like, maintain her privacy.
Yeah, sure. I mean, there's physical, or not physical, there's evidence that she definitely had nothing to do with it.
Yeah.
There's video that shows her probably pulling into a parking lot, sitting there, and then leaving.
Mm-hmm.
But that's interesting. So we've got, we have a 19-year-old, 6'1" kid,
mm-hmm.
8 blocks, so you're thinking, what, like a quarter of a mile, maybe?
Yeah, like a 10-minute walk.
Middle of the day.
Yeah.
I mean, you said it's a residential neighborhood, so I can't imagine there's a lot of busy streets or streets where people drive fast.
Even if you're thinking like car accident, got hit by a car, they freaked out, whatever.
Yeah.
I just don't think you could do that unnoticed.
Right. Yes.
You know,
middle of the day, summertime.
In a
like
neighborhood.
Said,
we're not talking
home,
about back
home.
Roads. We're
yeah.
not talking about like, yeah, a rural area where you could potentially do that and nobody sees.
Yeah.
And plus, yes, he was skinny. He was 165 pounds, but 165 pounds, 6'1", dead weight.
Yeah, that's
like,
a lot.
Get out of here. There's no way that you'd be able to do anything with that without drawing a lot of attention to yourself.
And this wasn't his like scheduled time to work, so like there's no chance that people are waiting to ambush him on the way.
Right, that's the thing. This was not like he that wasn't the normal way he
right.
would have walked.
Yeah,
he would have on a normal day he wouldn't have been heading toward the high school. He wasn't supposed to work at that time of day.
Yeah,
like yeah, there's it's not
it's
like
spontaneous movement,
exactly.
So it's not something that it's not like unless the person was like.
Like surveilling
sitting,
him?
Yes, sitting outside of his house, watching him.
Which, again,
there was no
seems
planning.
Unlikely.
Right.
Police, after they got the surveillance video from the high school, they also checked for surveillance from nearby businesses or homes along the 8-block route.
Also 2001, so there's no Ring cameras
exactly.
on houses or anything. Yeah.
Exactly. So, like, very few people had security cameras at that point. And so, you know, because of this, there just wasn't any footage out there that captured Jason at all.
Law enforcement did bring in cadaver dogs and conducted targeted searches of the surrounding area. Volunteers hung flyers and local media ran short stories about the missing teen. But without a crime scene, a witness, or any concrete evidence, the investigation stalled very quickly. Despite hundreds of tips, Jason's case has never produced a single piece of physical evidence. No clothing, no belongings, no eyewitness sightings. And no confirmed activity, financial or otherwise, has been linked to him since the morning of June 13th, 2001.
Yeah, I was going to ask about his bank accounts. I know you had mentioned it.
Not touched.
Briefly, but
yep.
Confirmed, never touched.
Never.
Money still, well, money was just in the account.
Yeah. And I don't know how much it was or whatever, but either way, never touched. So, of course, the case went cold, and Jason's family, left with more questions than answers, had to start asking themselves one question no family ever wants to face. What if he's really gone and no one will ever know why? Jason's disappearance was every family's nightmare, not just because he was gone, but because no one seemed to be looking for him in those critical first days. His parents, Kelly and Jim, quickly realized that the system simply was not built to help families like theirs. Jason was 19, he was legally an adult, and his case didn't fit the mold of a typical missing persons profile at the time. There was no evidence of foul play, and he hadn't left behind a note, so for law enforcement, there was just little to go on and really no urgency. But the Jolkowskis aimed to change that. So they began their own search. They plastered Jason's photo around Omaha, and they wrote letters to news outlets hoping that someone might come forward with a lead. They also began to connect with other families of missing people, and when they did this, they realized that what was happening to them wasn't unique. And again, it clearly isn't, because we've done a ton of episodes where people have gone missing under similar circumstances, and because they're adults,
cops don't do anything.
Yeah. In 2003, 2 years after Jason disappeared, his parents founded Project Jason, a nonprofit organization dedicated to supporting families of the missing and raising awareness about long-term and overlooked cases. And when I was talking in the intro about kind of knowing about this case, I didn't know about Jason's case, but I knew about Project Jason. I just had no idea.
The two were linked.
Yeah.
That Jason was the
same. This was the Jason.
Yeah.
If you listen to the show a lot, you know that I go on Web Sleuths all the time when I'm researching cases. And when I'm researching cases from around this time period, like the early 2000s, Project Jason is constantly mentioned. And Jason's mother, Kelly, was an active user on Web Sleuths. So she was constantly on there like, oh, hey, you know, I just made a page for this missing person on Project Jason, and like was constantly working it to help out other families and spread the word about their missing loved ones. And their mission was simple: make sure no other family had to feel as helpless, ignored, or forgotten as they had. Through Project Jason, Kelly and Jim began offering support services to other families, providing resources, education, and community. They developed public awareness campaigns, organized billboard programs, and even created a unique initiative called Adopt a Missing Person, which paired volunteers with specific cases to help keep them in the public eye.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, I thought so too. And like I said, I mean, if you look at Web Sleuth's threads from around this time, like she is all over it. And it's really admirable that she was able to channel her grief into something that did help a lot of people.
Yeah, that's most people wouldn't have the mental fortitude to deal with something like that.
Yeah. In 2005, Nebraska passed Jason's Law, named in honor of Jason Jolkowski. The law created a statewide database for missing persons accessible to both law enforcement and the public. It ensured that missing persons reports would be taken seriously regardless of age, and that cases couldn't be dismissed simply because the person was over 18.
I mean, that sounds great, but, you know, I've never heard of this database.
Well, it's a statewide database.
Well, that's good.
Yeah.
It kind of needs to be national, though.
Well, now we do have national databases. We have NamUs. So it does exist now. But I think, you know, back in 2005 when this law happened, like this really was critical. And it's kind of hard to imagine with everything being so connected now and everything just being a Google search away.
Yeah.
But that is just not how the world was even 20 years ago, like we're talking about now.
Yeah.
For Jason's family, the law was both a victory and a tragedy.
It meant that others might get the help they needed when time mattered most, but it didn't bring Jason home. Still, Jason's name has continued to represent something bigger than a single case. It stands for every missing person who didn't get a headline, for every family who was told to wait, for every search that started too late. More than two decades have passed since Jason Joelkowski disappeared, and in all that time, there's been no confirmed sighting, no physical evidence, and no known suspect. Jason's case remains one of the most baffling disappearances in Nebraska history. And as much as people want answers, there just really isn't enough out there to build a definitive theory. Because there are a lot of cases where that we've covered where the person hasn't been found, but we can pretty much narrow it down.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. With this, there's
nothing.
There's a million possibilities of what could have happened.
Absolutely. So what did happen to Jason Joelkowski? Remember when I talked about True Diagnostics' True Age Test? Well, I took it myself and the results blew my mind. I was very wrong. If you remember, I was worried about my brain and not my cardiovascular health. And it turns out my brain's fine, but my cardiovascular health needs work. But luckily, my biological age was really right on track with my actual age, which is good because research shows that if your biological age is even just 5 years older than your actual age, your risk of developing diseases like cancer or heart disease can jump by as much as 30 to 50%. That's a big deal, and it's completely avoidable. The good news is nearly 90% of biological aging is in your hands. It's driven by things like your lifestyle, your habits, and the environment you're in, which means that you have a lot of control over it. The True Age test didn't just give me a number. It showed how quickly my heart, brain, liver, and immune system are aging, and it was eye-opening. And I will say, I definitely picked up the workouts after I learned that my cardiovascular health isn't as good as I thought it was. The test itself was super easy and convenient. I did it from home, and it was just a quick, painless finger prick that I made Ethan do because I was too scared. You send it off in a tiny sample in a prepaid package, and in about 2 to 3 weeks, you'll get a detailed online report about your aging and health. So if you care about protecting your health and want to find out what your real age is, head over to truediagnostic.com and use my code ATTWG to get 20% off your entire order or subscription. That's truediagnostic.com and use ATTWG at checkout to get 20% off. Your future self will thank you. Hey, it's Kona, and April is Earth Month. Did you know that most mattresses end up in landfills within a decade? That's why quality is sustainability. Avocado Green mattresses are built to last. They're crafted with non-toxic, certified organic materials and made in their own zero-waste factory. They've already diverted 85% of waste from landfills, and they're working toward even more. And as a 1% Planet member, Avocado donates at least 1% of all revenue to environmental nonprofits tackling climate change, restoring ecosystems, and protecting our planet. That means every time you choose Avocado, you're directly supporting organizations making a real impact. A better night's sleep and a better planet? That's a win-win. You can even have a sleep trial up to 1 year and generous warranties for your peace of mind. So head to avocadomattress.com today and save up to 10% on certified organic mattresses. Dream of better for you and the planet. Let me tell you about the online cannabis company that's revolutionizing how we deal with life's challenges, from sleepless nights to stress-filled days. Mood.com has created an entire line of functional gummies that target specific health concerns, with 100% federally legal THC blends that are delivered discreetly right to your doorstep. And you can get 20% off with your first order at Mood.com with promo code ATTWG. They have so many different types of gummies. It's absolutely wild. Their sleepy time gummies will knock you out in about 15 minutes flat with no hangovers, and no grogginess. You will wake up feeling amazing. They even have gummies for pain relief, and I have some that I'm going to give to a relative who has hip problems but can't take ibuprofen for other health reasons. And their Epic Euphoria gummies, they're perfect for those days when nothing's going right and you just need to hit the reset button on your crap mood. What makes these different is how they've paired THC and other cannabinoids with herbs and adaptogens. You're not going to find gummies like this in a dispensary or anywhere for that matter. And they have gummies for literally everything. Immune support, menopause relief, PMS symptoms, mental clarity, and sexual arousal. And each one is crafted using federally legal cannabis grown on small family-owned American farms. I want to stress this one more time. This is federally legal. There are no pesticides, no BS, and they can ship to most states in the U.S. Best of all, not only does Mood stand behind everything with an industry-leading 100-day satisfaction guarantee, but as I mentioned, listeners get 20% off their first order with code ATTWG. So head to Mood.com, browse their amazing selection of functional gummies, and find the perfect gummy for whatever you're dealing with. And remember to use promo code ATTWG at checkout out to save 20% on your first order.
If you work in quality control at a candy factory, you know strict safety regulations come with the job. It's why you partner with Grainger. Grainger helps you find the high quality and compliant products your business needs to inspect, detect, and help correct issues. And the sweetest part is, everyone gets a product that's as safe to eat as it is delicious. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
The most widely held theory is that Jason was abducted during his short walk to Benson High School. But unless it was by somebody he knew...
That's what I'm thinking.
I can't see how it would be possible. For the reasons we talked about before, with like, right. You know, you can't get a 6'1", like... kid into a car, like, you know, unless they want to go into the car.
Yeah, I mean,
without somebody noticing.
Right. Yes, that's where I was going to go. Like, yes, is it physically possible?
Yes.
Sure.
I'm sure he could have been overtaken, but
especially
again,
if there were multiple people in the car. But again, you know, this is middle of the day; people are home.
He wouldn't have gone willingly,
and he would have been screaming or...
Right, and it's one of those things where it's like, even if you didn't necessarily know what was happening at the time, once the police came and being like, hey, did you see or hear anything weird on the morning of June 13th?
Right.
You would have been like, oh, yeah, actually, I did hear something. Right?
I heard tire screeching
or a loud thump or whatever. And there's nothing like that. But if someone he knew and trusted drove up, then maybe he would have gotten in the car. But even if it was somebody he knew, again, like we talked about, this wasn't Jason's normal schedule. So it would have been really hard for somebody to plan this.
Right. And if it was somebody spontaneously seeing him and saying, hey, do you want to ride? Again, Jason probably knew who his coworker was.
Yeah.
And he knew that that's not the coworker that was supposed to pick me up.
Right. And it's like, and even.
So he's not going to like leave her sitting in the parking lot.
Exactly. Like, that's the other thing, because like the only thing that makes sense would be as if he willingly took a ride from somebody. But like, would he really do that knowing that his coworker
is sitting in the parking lot of a high school,
like,
down the street?
That's just rude, you know? And I don't, he doesn't strike me as the person who would just be rude like that, you know? Unless it's somebody who knew that the coworker was waiting and he's like, oh yeah, well, she actually had to go, so I'm going to take you to work instead. But that
would require pre-planning and knowing
his
route of travel, which was spontaneous and not necessarily on the way to work.
Right. It just doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
So the other kind of related theory is that he was picked up by somebody, but like he planned it and he was picked up by somebody and like chose to leave.
Yeah. But again, like what, with $60 to his name?
Yeah.
You know, like.
Like why?
Yeah.
And so, of course, his family never believed that, because, again, it just doesn't really make any sense. You know, it doesn't make sense that he would do that, because he didn't pack a bag. He didn't withdraw money. He didn't leave a note, make a call, or mention any struggle or emotional distress that
he
was going to.
Yeah, right. By this point, his little brothers, if there was some issue in the house, like abuse or whatever, like at this point, you know, his little brothers probably would have mentioned it at this point.
Yeah.
We're talking 20 years later, we would have known about it eventually.
Right. Now, another possibility is that Jason suffered a medical emergency, something sudden and catastrophic that caused him to collapse or become disoriented during his walk. But again, the lack of physical evidence makes this theory hard to believe, too. The neighborhood was well-traveled, his route was short and familiar, and if he collapsed on the sidewalk or wandered into a wooded area, it's likely that someone would have seen something.
Especially during the search, somebody would have found it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And as we've said before on this show, you can't hide your own body.
Yes, right.
Jason's case remains open with the Omaha Police Department. Every few years, media outlets revisit the story, usually around the anniversary of his disappearance or on his birthday. But again, nearly 25 years later, no new evidence has emerged. But Jason's family never truly stopped searching. They've kept his story alive through their advocacy, through media interviews and legislation. But like so many families in these cases, they've just had to live with the absence and the silence. Jason Jolkowski was a quiet, dependable 19-year-old who vanished in broad daylight on his way to work. He wasn't in the middle of a crisis, at least not one that anyone knew about or saw any indication of. He wasn't living a secret life. Like, again, nobody's ever come forward and been like, oh, yeah, no, this guy was secretly doing drugs or anything, right? And he wasn't someone who just left without telling anyone. That's just not who he was. That day, he was doing what he always did, being responsible, showing up when asked. And in the time it took to walk 8 blocks, he was gone. There were no witnesses, no screams, no sign of a struggle. It was just a vanishing. And I haven't even been able, in researching this, I haven't been able to find like gossip, you know, about what may have happened to him again. Like, because in a lot of times in these cases, you can at least find in forums locals saying, well, oh, maybe this is what happened. Maybe this is actually somebody you should look into, et cetera, et cetera. I couldn't even find that in this case. Seemingly everyone involved who knew anything about Jason or what happened is just truly baffled. What makes Jason's story even more heartbreaking is that it didn't just highlight the tragedy of his disappearance. It also showed the flaws in the system. It's the same flaws that we see over and over again in the cases that we've covered on this show. In those first hours, when his family knew something was wrong, there was no urgency, there was no protocol. Because Jason was legally an adult, his case didn't spark the kind of immediate response that might have made a difference. And yes, there are obviously many reasons that you would take the case of somebody who's missing and is underage more seriously than a missing adult.
Right.
But bad things can happen to people at any age. Jason's family should truly be commended for the work that they put in after his disappearance. Like you said, I mean, it takes a special type of person to be able to do anything productive, I feel like, after going through a horrible event like this. And they help change the way Nebraska responds to missing persons cases, which is a big deal. And through Project Jason and through Jason's Law, they've helped countless other families in their darkest moments. They made sure that Jason's name would mean something, that his disappearance wouldn't be the end of the story. But for them and for so many of us, there's still one story that's left unfinished. The story of Jason Jolkowski. Jason Jolkowski has been missing from Omaha, Nebraska since June 13, 2001. He's a white male with brown hair and brown eyes. At the time of his disappearance, he was between 6'1" and 6'2" and weighed approximately 165 to 175 pounds. He was last seen wearing a white Chicago Cubs shirt, black dress pants, and black dress shoes. Jason was 19 when he went missing. He would be 43 today. If you have any information about the disappearance of Jason Jolkowski, please contact the Omaha Police Department at 402-444-5818. You can see all the sources for this episode along with photos and videos at our website, andthentheyweregone.com.
And be sure to follow us on social, And Then They Were Gone Pod on Facebook and at ATTWG Pod on Instagram and TikTok. If you like what we're doing, please subscribe and consider leaving a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. It will help new listeners find us. And the more people that listen, the more chances we have of bringing someone home.
And we'll see you here next week for a brand new episode.
See you next week.
And Then They Were Gone is hosted by Kona Gallagher and Ethan Flick. All research, writing, and editing is done by me, Kona Gallagher. Theme music is The Stork by Ketsa. Additional music is provided by Kai Engel. And Then They Were Gone is a Little Monster production.
Hey, you can do it!
Six months from now, you could be running a 5K, booking that dream trip, or seeing thicker, fuller hair every time you look in the mirror. Through Hers, you can get dermatologist-trusted, clinically proven prescriptions with ingredients that go beyond what over-the-counter products offer. Whether you prefer oral or topical treatments, Hers has you covered. Getting started is simple. Just fill out an intake form online, and a licensed provider will recommend a customized plan just for you. The best part? Everything is 100% online. If prescribed, your treatment ships right to your door. No pharmacy trips, no waiting rooms, and no insurance headaches. Plus, treatments start at just $35 a month. Start your initial free online visit today at forhers.com/talk. That's forhers.com/talk. Tontandia products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Price varies both on product and subscription plan. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
If you work in quality control at a candy factory, you know strict safety regulations come with the job. It's why you partner with Grainger. Grainger helps you find the high-quality and compliant products your business needs to inspect, detect, and help correct issues. And the sweetest part is, everyone gets a product that's as safe to eat as it is delicious. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
6 months from now, you could be running a 5K, booking that dream trip, or seeing thicker, fuller hair every time you look in the mirror. Through Hers, you can get dermatologist-trusted, clinically proven prescriptions with ingredients that go beyond what over-the-counter products offer. Whether you prefer oral or topical treatments, Hers has you covered. Getting started is simple. Just fill out an intake form online, and a licensed provider will recommend a customized plan just for you. The best part? Everything is 100% online. If prescribed, your treatment ships right to your door. No pharmacy trips, no waiting rooms, and no insurance headaches. Plus, treatments start at just $35 a month. Start your initial free online visit today at forhers.com/talk. That's forhers.com/talk. Tontandia products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Price varies both on product and subscription plan. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.